the Gospel Hour, making known to this nation the gospel of Jesus Christ. Stay tuned for today's message that was preached and recorded by the founder of the Gospel Hour, Evangelist Dr. Oliver B. Green.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Gospel Hour. I'm David Green, director of the Gospel Hour, inviting you to stay tuned with us for the next half hour as we bring you another beautiful song from our featured album this week and continue with our verse-by-verse study of the Book of Acts as preached and taught by my late father, Dr. Oliver B. Green. Today, looking in Acts chapter 4, verses 31 through 35. So get your Bibles out and follow along. But before that, I want to remind you about our 2023 wall calendar from the Gospel Hour. If you haven't already ordered yours, be sure and do so today. It's a beautiful calendar I know you will love. Well, right now, let's hear Jesus is All the World to Me, and then Dr. Green.
Jesus is all the world to me, my life, my joy, my all. He is my strength from day to day. Without him I would fall. When I am sad, to him I go. No other one can cheer me so. When I am sad, he makes me glad. He's my friend. Jesus is all.
Here with our message, Oliver B. Green.
Lead us, our Father, as we open thy word to continue our study today. In Jesus' name, honor the word, the precious blood, for Christ's sake. Amen. Yesterday, I read down through verse 35 of Acts 4. Now, today, I'm reading again verse 31, 32, and 33. We read these verses to get the connection, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart, one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Now, I'm going to talk about that verse today, and I want you to read with me several verses. I made the statement the other day, and during this series, during the book of Acts, I don't have any idea how many sermons I'll preach on the resurrection. Now remember, beloved, this is the transition period, and of course the church has just been born, that is, the church has just come into being. Jesus said in Matthew 16, upon this rock I will build my church. And the church was born on the day of Pentecost, and the church is young, and we're in the transition from law to grace, the Mosaic economy to grace. And so the apostles are emphasizing day by day, message by message, the importance of the resurrection. Now let me show you, for instance, in Romans chapter 1 and verse Romans 1:1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated under the gospel of God. Now notice that. Which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scripture. Now you're talking about the Old Testament scriptures, the prophets in the Old Testament. Concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Now, watch this very closely. Paul said that he is a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated under the gospel of God. Now, he speaks of the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets. God promised this gospel by God's prophets in the Old Testament scriptures concerning his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, in Genesis 3:15, we have the first promise of Jesus. And from Genesis right on through Malachi, we have prophecies concerning the Son of God. And of course, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Zechariah, all through there. The Psalms filled with prophecy. Now watch this. Concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Now from the lineage of the flesh, that is from the standpoint of the flesh, he came through the lineage of David. Now verse 4. And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations, for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. Now then, Paul tells us that Jesus is declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Now, Peter emphasizes again and again in the early ministry of the church, he emphasizes the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now in John 10:17, Jesus said, the Father loves me because I lay down my life for the sheep. Then he said, no man taketh my life. I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it again. This commandment I received from my Father. Now Jesus lived a sinless life. He worked miracles, gigantic miracles. Indeed he did. He raised the dead, he healed the sick, he fed the hungry, and he worked miracles that no man had ever worked. He opened the eyes of the blind, and it had never been known that anyone had ever opened the eyes of a man born blind. The enemies of Jesus readily confessed this. Now, the enemies of Jesus explained away everything. They said he's doing these miracles by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. They explained away everything, but my friend, when they woke up that morning and the stone was rolled away and the body of Jesus was gone, they lied. They paid the authorities, paid the guards to say that the disciples stole the body. Listen, the greatest bombshell, the greatest explosion, spiritually speaking, ever to occur upon the face of this earth was the empty tomb. That is the resurrection of the Son of God with power. He was raised from the dead, and his resurrection declares that he is the Son of God. Now listen, beloved, let me say this. We're living in the age of the beginning of the world church that will make up the church of the Antichrist. Now, different segments of religion and denominations and cults and so forth are uniting. The churches are uniting. Things are happening today that 10 years ago you would have never dreamed could happen. For instance, I want to ask you a question. Now listen, as I deliver this message today, in the past few days and weeks, there have been several articles in the papers with pictures. Here in my hometown in Greenville, South Carolina, there have been several articles with pictures where world church leaders, now notice what I said. I said world church leaders, great church men, outstanding religious personalities have met with the highest leaders of Russia and communism. Now, I want to ask you something. You know as well as I know that communism is atheistic to the core. Now, of course, Khrushchev has been out of office a long time, but back under when he was in office, he said there is no God. Our rockets did not find God. We've sent satellites into outer space, and Khrushchev, when he was in office, he said there is no God. Now, you know as well as I know that communism is atheistic to the core. How in the name of common sense can atheists and supposedly Christian leaders meet and meet on common grounds and talk about anything, beloved friends, mutually? I want to ask you that. Now, you know what? Back under 3 or 4 or 5 years ago now, when I delivered a series of sermons for almost a year on Revelation, I made the statement that the world church and communism will unite. Now, the world church is in the making today, and you mark my word, beloved friends, in the end of the age, after the rapture. After the rapture, after all, communism is a religion. You must be converted to become a communist. Now, don't misunderstand me. I didn't say born again. I said converted. That is, you must have a complete change of mind and a complete change of heart. You must denounce God and become an atheist, and communism is atheistic to the core. Now, how on earth could people who claim to know God Almighty, how could they sit at a table and mutually discuss anything with atheists? I ask you. And yet, this world is shaping up for the church of the Antichrist, and immediately after the rapture, the man of sin will appear, and he'll offer the utopia, and for 3.5 years there will be a utopia, but then all hell will break out. Now, Paul said, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus Christ declares that he is the Son of God with power, yea, God in flesh. Now, let me say this. There have been, and there are, some great religious leaders. I didn't say great Christians. I said great religious leaders. Founders of great religion. Some of them are dead. Many of them are dead. You read history, church history, and history of religions. Look in your encyclopedia under religions, and you'll find many great religions. I didn't say great Christians. Beloved, Christianity stands alone. Christianity is singular. Christianity is Christ in your heart by faith in the shed blood of the Lamb of God. By grace, nothing added, nothing taken away. That is, when you become a Christian, you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you trust in his shed blood for the remission of sins, and you do not try to atone for your sins or do anything to atone for your sins. You trust in his blood to atone for your sins. Now, Christianity stands alone. Christianity is Christ in you. And everyone who says, I'm a Christian, is not a Christian. Now, that's not judging. That's just a plain fact. Jesus said, by their fruits, ye shall know them. Now, I'm saying all that to say this. There have been some great, outstanding religious leaders. They're dead, but not one of them has ever come out of the tomb. Now, you can visit the tomb of every great religious leader that's ever died, and I'll guarantee you, brother, his tomb is still sealed. His bones are still there, or her, his or her. There have been some women too. and their bones are there, the tomb is sealed. But bless God, hallelujah, glory to God, amen. The tomb of Jesus on the third day was found empty, the stone was rolled away, and the napkin and the linen was there. Just like Jesus was wound. You know, they wound the body in linen, and there it was, just exactly like it was wound around the body of Jesus. He slipped out of it. He come out of it. And there was the napkin folded. Yes, sir, folded. Jesus calmly arose from the dead, took the napkin from his face and folded it and placed it neatly in a place. And then when they looked in, there it was. Now, mister, that has never been explained by the enemies of Jesus Christ. And they never will explain it because they can't explain it. He rose again, and he rose again with power. And the resurrection of Jesus declares that he is the Son of God Almighty. Now, let me read one more verse in 1 Corinthians 15:20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, Adam, by man, the last Adam, came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Christ at his coming, then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule, all authority, and all power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. Glory to God. Jesus is the first fruits. He did rise. He did come back from the dead, and he's the first fruits of them that slept. And every born again believer will be raised, but every man in his own order. Now let me say this. God is not going to recreate believers who've died. Their bodies will not be recreated. They'll be resurrected incorruptible, and we'll know as we're known. And of course, you remember when Jesus stepped into the room, Thomas present. Now, the first time Jesus appeared to the 10 disciples, Thomas was not there. And Thomas said, I will not believe. I absolutely will not believe unless I see him and put my fingers in the prints of the nails and thrust my hand into his side. I will not believe. And of course, 8 days later, Jesus stepped into the room, all the doors and windows shut and barred. And Jesus said, Thomas, behold my hands and thrust your hand into my side. Of course, Thomas didn't. He saw the Lord and he believed and he was convinced and he cried out, my Lord and my God. Let me point this out. You may call him Doubting Thomas, but when he was convinced, he gave the strongest testimony of the deity of Jesus of any apostle. He said, my Lord, my God. No one else said that. Thomas said, he's not only my Lord, he's not only my Savior, but he's God Almighty. And that's exactly what he was. Jesus was God in flesh. I believe in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. He was very God, yet he was very man. And the man Christ Jesus sits at the right hand of the Majesty right now, making intercession for believers. Hallelujah. Now then, turn in your Bible, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 6, and I want to read a very interesting and a very enlightening passage. Hebrews 6:13, for when God made promise to Abraham because he could swear by no greater, he swear by himself. Now notice, God is God, and beside him there is no God, so he could swear by no greater, he swear by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. Now please turn in your Bible to Hebrews 6, and I'm reading verse 15. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Now watch this. Paul is speaking to you and me. The hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, The hope we have is an anchor for our soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Now watch it. When Jesus died on the cross, the veil was rent in twain from top to bottom. The veil that separated man from the Holy of Holies, the place where God met the high priest with blood for the sins of the people. Now that veil was split from top to bottom and wide open to whosoever will. Now watch it. Whither the forerunner is for us entered. Now Jesus has entered within the veil. He is our high priest. Even Jesus, watch it. Whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now Jesus rose again. He ascended and he is seated at the right hand of Almighty God. He is our high priest. He is our mediator. He is our intercessor. He is our confessor. And beloved, apart from Jesus, it is impossible for you to please God or see God in peace. The only way that you'll ever see God and hear God say, "Enter thou the joys of heaven," will be in the name of Jesus. Jesus said, "If you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father," Matthew 10:31-33. But he said, "If you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father." There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. He is the one and the only one that mediates between sinners and God Almighty. He is our propitiation. He is our intercessor, and he makes intercession for the saints. Now watch this. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in time of need. I read Hebrews 4:14-16. Now watch it in Acts. We've been for the last two or three days. Watch it now. The multitude of them that believed were of one heart, one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. We're saved by grace, we are kept by grace, and we'll stand before God because of God's grace. And Jesus, by the grace of God, tasted death for every man, Hebrews 2:9, but it was not possible that death should hold him, and because he lives, we live also. Glory to God. So my friend, without the resurrection of Jesus, there is no hope, because his resurrection declares that he is the Son of God with power. Don't forget that verse I read in Romans 1:4. And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Declared to be the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead. Jesus is the only person that ever walked out of the tomb under his own power. Very God, very man. Hallelujah for Jesus, our Savior and great high priest. Father, honor the word, the name of Jesus, the shed blood, and save every soul that's under conviction. For Jesus' sake, we ask it in his precious name. Amen.
Friends, this is David Green once again. Thank you for tuning in today, and thank you in advance for staying tuned with me for the last few moments of the program, because I want to share with you about our new gift offer for the week, Gift Offer D. D as in David is all you need to ask for. Gift Offer D contains three items: a tract, just perfect for Christmas season, a book by my dad, and a collection of messages on CD. And all three of these items are available to you if you ask for Offer D and send the donation to the ministry in the amount of $20 or more. Please send more if you can. whatever the Lord lays on your heart, that's what you should do. But if you can send a donation of at least $20 and ask for gift offer D, I'm going to send you first our collection of messages on CD entitled Angels, God's Creation. Now, this is part of a very long series by Dr. Green on Bible doctrine. And as I listened to it, I was so impressed and intrigued about his study of angels that I wanted to carve that out in case you had never heard it and offer it to you. And that's what this is, a collection of 7 messages that we have put on 3 compact discs housed in a very beautiful binder. On the 3rd CD, we have 5 songs for you, such as Beautiful Valley of Eden, Count Your Blessings, and others. I know you will enjoy and learn from this collection, Angels, God's Creation. Then we have a book by my dad of 7 messages entitled The Perfect Gift. Of course, the perfect gift was when God gave Christ to us as a man. Now, some of the messages are the gift of God. Behold the man. Blessed art thou among women. And so on. Now, along with this book, it's 85 pages long, a perfect bound book. We also have a companion CD containing 10 Christmas songs, such as Angels We Have Heard on High, O Come Emmanuel, and so on. Then the 3rd item we have is a tract, The Truth About Christmas. What better tract to have to hand out to others during this season? We're sending you 5 copies, but I hope you'll get back in touch with us and order 20, 50, 100, however many you can hand out or mail out in your community. So to get all 3 of these items, just ask for offer D and send your gift of at least $20. Here's how to make your donation.
Friends, to order this week's gift offer or to contribute to this ministry, write to us at the Gospel Hour, Post Office Box 2024, that's 2024, Greenville, South Carolina, 29602. Or call us toll-free Monday through Friday between the hours of 8:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time at 1-800-745-0324. That's 1-800-745-0324. You may use your Visa, Discover, or MasterCard anytime you write or when you call. You can also place your order online 24 hours a day by visiting our website at www.thegospelhour.org. Here also you may order other materials available through this ministry. To receive an audio CD of today's message, be sure to give us today's date and enclose a gift of at least $5 to cover the cost of production and handling.
Friends, this is David Green again. On behalf of myself and the entire Gospel Hour family, I want to thank you for tuning in to the program today. I hope you received a blessing today and will tune in again each and every time you can. And so, until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you in His will.